This morning's reading is taken from Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 17, which is found on page 1128 in the Church Bible. That's Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, who I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please keep the passage open in front of you, page 1128, and let's pray together. Father, we pray, please, now as we come to this passage in Romans, Father, please teach us, help us to be ready to listen. And we pray that you would help us by strengthening our faith in Jesus. Amen. Where does faith rank in importance for you? For most people, probably around us, faith is not that significant, is it? Whether someone is a person of faith or not really doesn't matter to them. Most will think there are more important things in life, like health, friendship, a sense of fulfillment, watching the latest Netflix series. And sometimes those who call themselves Christians might fall in with that way of thinking. But this passage in Romans helps us to see that for Paul, faith was the most important thing. It was the big thing. Not that those other things are unimportant, but faith is the most important thing about you. And it's very clear, obviously, in the way Paul has written things and in the wider context, we're not just talking about any faith, we're talking about faith in Jesus. Last week we saw Paul did the customary introduction to a letter, his name, then the recipients, and then a greeting. Of course, within that, we also saw that Paul then went straight into the gospel and explaining a bit about the gospel. But we're through that introduction, and now Paul starts talking about his relationship with the Romans. And it is a really warm, affectionate relationship he's got with them. He longs to see them, to be with them. It's so warm, actually, that you forget that he's never been there. He knows some of them. You get that at the end of the letter, that he knows some of them, so he greets them personally. But there are plenty there that he doesn't know, you assume. And yet he is so warm towards them and full of thanks to God for them. Why? Well, he explains it in verse 8. Have a look. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. And you can imagine that could well be true. I mean, that is true. He's saying it is. But that other churches around the place are talking about the fact that there is a church in Rome. Rome, the centre of the Roman Empire, the capital. And so it's a significant thing that there are Christians there, people who've come to faith in Jesus. And Paul's saying everyone's talking about your faith. It's clear what Paul's priority is. He rejoices that they have faith in Jesus. Faith is essential. Why? So let's have the next slide. That's it. Faith is essential. But why is it essential? Well, let's just look down. So he's already said there that he gives thanks for their faith. Would you cast your eyes down to the end of the reading? So verses 16 and 17. I preached on these at the beginning of the year. I don't intend to go into them in quite the way that we did there. But notice in these verses why he's saying faith is so important. Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And believes there, same root word as faith. In other words, he's saying if you've got faith in Jesus, faith in the gospel, you're saved. You have salvation. And then verse 17, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Paul is saying that the way to be saved, the way to be righteous, and righteousness is being in a right relationship with God, the way to those things is faith. It's faith through and through, he's saying. That's why he says it is by faith from first to last. Now, well, next passage that we'll go into will explain why we need to be made right with God, why we're not right with God and need to be. But I want you to see here, Paul is making this huge emphasis on saying, I thank God for your faith. Faith is so important, because if you've got faith, you're saved. Faith means you're in a right relationship with God. You see, we need to recognize that faith is essential. Or if we slipped into the way the world thinks, what's the most important thing about you? If you're a parent, what's the most important thing about your children? For mothers, Mothering Sunday, what's the most important thing for your children? Well, the Bible will say it's faith, isn't it? Faith is more significant than education, career, health, happiness, sporting achievement, anything like that. Now, I know many here realize this. And one of their greatest struggles, one of the greatest struggles for some here, is that your children maybe, or parents, or spouse, or those you love, don't have faith in Jesus. And it's a great sadness. And of course, we're right to be sad about those we love who don't have faith in Jesus. It is so important. And we're to keep praying for them. Don't give up praying for those you love who don't have faith in Jesus. There are those here whose parents maybe prayed for them for many years after they drifted off from the faith but have come back. And praise God for that. We need to keep praying for those we love who don't yet know Jesus, who aren't following him. But maybe for others here, it's a new idea that faith is the most important thing. I hope you see from Paul here in those verses why it's so important. Eternity depends on it. If you're not yet a Christian, the Bible says faith in Jesus is that significant. Maybe that's different from what you've assumed. So faith is essential. But Paul doesn't leave it there. He doesn't just thank God for their faith. Very clearly, he says, I want to visit you. Why? Again, why? Verse 10, have a look with me. In my prayers at all times, sorry, we're breaking into a sentence, and I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Paul's saying, I want to strengthen you. Clearly, he's not saying physically. He's not about to go and do a workout with them and get them physically stronger. He's not saying that, is he? He's saying, I want to strengthen your faith. You see, it's not enough for him just to hear that they've got faith. He's saying, I want to strengthen it. In fact, he's prepared to travel hundreds of miles to strengthen their faith. And that should be our desire for ourselves and for one another as well. That we would grow strong in faith, strengthening one another. So the question is, how do we do this? There are two ways in the passage that Paul talks about strengthening faith, or two ways in the passage that faith can be strengthened. First is in verse 12. He says, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Faith is strengthened by seeing faith. That's what Paul's saying, isn't it? I want to come to Rome, I want to see you, and I want you to see me, so that we'll be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. As you see my faith, as I see your faith, we'll be strengthened. And that's true for us too. We all need this strengthening. I need this strengthening. And part of the way it happens is, as we see one another's faith, it grows. Silly illustration, but it's a bit like, okay, maybe you remember a time when you were invited to a fancy dress party. Maybe for some it was quite some time ago. It's a long time since we were invited to a fancy dress party. I'm not asking for invitations. We once went to a 70s party, and you know, you get dressed up. But there is that niggling doubt, isn't there? Am I the only person who's going to be doing this? As you go to the party, as you travel wearing the silly costume, you're thinking, am I going to be the only one? And the way you're strengthened is, as you're arriving, you see others wearing silly costumes as well. And you go, we're going to be all right. We're all in this together. Okay, transfer the analogy over to us as Christians. Okay, we in the week seek to live for Jesus, don't we? We're trying to live for him day by day. And it can be hard work. And you come together, and part of coming together is to go, ah, you're doing this too. I can keep going. We're doing this together. Yeah, maybe during the week we're apart, we're doing it in different places, but we're strengthened by seeing one another's faith. But I want to just challenge us to push this a little bit to the next level in terms of helping one another. You see, we don't get encouraged in faith unless we see one another's faith, do we? We will not be encouraged by one another's faith when we meet if we don't see it. I therefore want to encourage you to wear your faith on your sleeve a bit more. One thing the PCC have said that we want to do is encourage people to give testimonies, which isn't just how you became a Christian, but what the Lord is doing in our lives now. And so we're going to have some more upfront testimonies in due course, because they do strengthen faith. One example of this, my father-in-law, Bev's dad, Martin Cooper, who has preached here in the past, was asked to say something at his church, at Above Bar Church, about how he's coping with his wife, Bev's mum's, being in a nursing home. Because she has Parkinson's and dementia. And it's a very moving testimony to watch. And at one point he says, people ask, where is God in all this? And his response, he says, right in the middle of it, walking with us one day at a time. And it's an incredible testimony of the Lord strengthening him as he goes through difficult times. And as I watch that, and as others watch that, and as others in the church watch that, faith is strengthened, isn't it? Because you see someone there saying, I can see how the Lord is at work even in these difficult times. We're strengthened in faith by seeing faith. So we're going to do some more upfront testimonies. But I recognise not everyone can speak up front. Not everyone. That doesn't work for everyone. And so there are going to be other ways that we're going to try just to encourage one another to share testimonies of how what the Lord is doing in our lives. So, for instance, at the last prayer breakfast, we had 10 minutes before we started praying together where we were encouraged just to share on our tables, what's the Lord doing? What encouragements have you had in faith at the moment? And it was a really good time, certainly on our table it was, as we just shared a little bit of encouragements. But let me give you two more things. I don't want to overload you. Two more ways that we can do this in practice as we gather together. How we can sort of show our faith to one another and mutually encourage one another. Let me give you two things. One, these aren't difficult, all right? Because I recognise one of the dangers preachers have is that if we start saying things to you where we go, we all need to do this, and you can be looking at me in a way where you go, I'm not doing that. I might as well have suggested that you go and join a circus and become a death-defying acrobat. You're going, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay, so what could we do? Simple one. Okay, first one, it's going to come up on the screen. Sing with oomph. That's not sing at 0 miles per hour. Sing with oomph. When we're singing together, and actually today you have been, it's been great. But let's sing with oomph, because it's just a little way where you go, where we're actually showing one another, we do believe what we're singing. I do actually believe this. And if you have a wall of sound of people going, yeah, we're singing it, we go, okay, I believe that this actually strengthens my faith as well. And so I sing a bit loud. So let's sing with oomph. All right? Now, not everyone can, but everyone should. Even if you can't sing very well, sing with oomph. And if you're near someone who can't sing so well, sing with even more oomph. All right? So that's one way. Another way, let your faith show in your conversations. Slightly more taxing, this one, isn't it? But you can do it in quite little ways, but it's ways where you go, actually, so in conversation over coffee, how about when there's something good that's happened in your week, express it to the other person as thankfulness. I'm thankful to the Lord for whatever it is. And if you've got struggles, that you express it as prayer requests. Please, could you pray for me that? Because by doing that, you're connecting what's going on in your week, what's going on in your life with faith in Jesus. And actually, that encourages the other person to go, oh, yeah, actually, the good things that happen, they are because the Lord has given them to us. So just let your faith show. Reveal it a bit more. Be like you're going to a fancy dress party and you go, ah, you've got faith too. Just do that in conversation to go, yes, I'm trusting in Jesus, or I'm struggling to trust in Jesus. Please pray for me. Yeah? So let's try to show our faith a bit more, because faith is strengthened as we see faith. So that's the first way. The second way faith is strengthened is through the preaching of the gospel. Faith is strengthened through the preaching of the gospel. Follow through with me what Paul says in verse 13. He says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. Now, what's Paul talking about there? It looks like he's talking about conversions. When he's talking about have a harvest among you, that looks like conversions, doesn't it? People coming to faith. But in the original, it's a bit less clearly evangelistic. So the word harvest is actually the word fruit. And it's not among you, but in you. So more literally, he says, in order that I might have fruit in you. So what is that fruit? It could be conversions, but it could also be the strengthening of their faith. That as the gospel is preached, there would be fruit in them as Christians. a strengthening of them, and all that results from the gospel being preached there, all of the things that result in Christians from the gospel being preached. And let's see a bit more as we go on. Verse 14, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. So he's got an obligation, he's got a debt. What is this debt? Verse 15, that's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Paul has a gospel obligation. He's been given the gospel by God to take to all nations. And so he says, so I want to come to you in Rome and preach the gospel to you. Now, we started to make this point last week, but Paul is saying, I want to preach the gospel to you, to this church, so that they would be strengthened, so that they would produce fruit. And remember, Paul has said of these Christians, their faith is being reported all over the world. Their faith is so famous, it is worldwide. And yet Paul is saying, but I still want to come to you to strengthen you, and I'm going to do it by preaching the gospel to you. So we will be strengthened in our faith as the gospel continues to be preached. If that's what they needed, that's what we need too. How should that shape us? Well, it must dictate the content of our preaching, mustn't it? I mean, preaching is essential within the church. And it must dictate the content of the preaching. So I think you could probably go on to the next slide. A couple of practical things here for us. Preaching must be gospel-focused in order for faith to be strengthened, which doesn't mean that you get the same message every week. But it does mean preaching the Bible faithfully, because you can preach the gospel from anywhere in the Bible. We saw last week the Old Testament contains the promise of the gospel and the New Testament contains the fulfillment of the gospel. So that means you can jump in at any point within in the Bible, preach from it, and if you're being faithful to the Bible passage, you will be preaching the gospel, the good news. It will take you to the good news. Sometimes preachers get distracted. We might get distracted into history lectures, geography lectures. And it's not insignificant, the history and the geography, they can be very important. But if that's where we leave it, then we've made a mistake. We must understand those things, but they point us to the gospel. And therefore, we must hear the gospel preached for our faith to be strengthened. Now, I think for many here, that's probably what you've come to expect from sermons. And therefore, maybe the challenge for us is not so much to be challenged in what we expect to have within a sermon, but maybe how we come to sermons. That we come with an expectation and a readiness to be strengthened in the faith by the gospel. Can I ask that you come to sermons with your training kit on? If you see someone going to the gym and they're wearing their normal clothes, you know, jeans or maybe suit and tie, and they don't have a bag with them, you know, they're not going to do exercise. They're not going to get stronger going in there. No, no, they've not got the appropriate kit on, have they? Well, so too with us when it comes to coming to sermons. Maybe sometimes we come with the equivalent of our casual clothes on. And so we, or our suit and tie. But we come not with training kit on. And we come along and we think, well, I just hope to be entertained, encouraged. And if the preacher isn't on form, we just go away saying, well, I didn't get much from that. But I want to encourage you to come to sermons with your training kit on. In other words, ready to be strengthened in the faith. Now, with an eagerness. That as you listen, you go, I want to be strengthened in the faith. What is there in this passage? What is there today that God has for me that is going to strengthen my faith as I hear the gospel proclaimed? How do I need to apply this to my heart? How can I live this more out day by day? Eager to grow, eager to be strengthened. Come with your training kit on. So there we go. We've seen this morning from Paul, faith is essential. It's what he rejoices over in the Romans, and he wants to strengthen their faith. And we've seen some practical ways to go, this is how to go about doing it. Now, maybe you've made some notes, maybe you haven't, but maybe you could look back. Just take a moment. What is it that you're going to put into practice from this passage, from today's sermon? Maybe you look back over the headings on your sheet. I'm going to give you a moment just to think about that. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for faith in Jesus, that through faith we can be saved and be made righteous. And therefore, Father, we thank you for that possibility through trust in the gospel. We pray for those here or those we know who don't yet have faith in Jesus, that you would open their hearts to put their trust in him. And for those who do, Father, please would you help us, if we already have faith in Jesus, to strengthen one another as we see one another's faith and as we hear the gospel preached. Amen.